Joy-filled days flourish from God's Word. I can remember back on a Sunday when I was probably about 10 years old. I enjoyed a beautiful sunrise and its warmth as I was feeding the baby calves on our dairy farm. I enjoyed later that day being with my friends and learning about God in Sunday school. Of course, worship back then always seemed a little long. I can't remember the sermon, but I do remember feeling loved by everyone in the congregation. The joy as everyone greeted each other. The contagious, joyous laugh of Reverend Everhart as he told one of his many corny jokes. The joy of my parents as they robustly sang the hymns. Although I can't remember specific words from those worship services, I do remember the recurring theme, the joy and love of belonging to God's family. Reverend Everhart always beamed as he explained the wonders of God's love. After worship, we enjoyed a delicious potluck lunch, and most of our congregation was made up of farmers, so these were hearty lunches with lots of beef and cheese and butter and cream that brought great joy to my taste buds. Reverend Everhart challenged me to ping pong, and for a while he was a competitive ping pong player. Never did beat him in all my years there at the church. Still trying when I get back. I figure maybe if he gets old enough, you know, maybe with my youth I can, you know, but he put this amazing spin on the ball and we laughed as the ball went everywhere, even onto some people's plates back on that potluck dinner. Then after church and we got in the car, my dad had a big surprise for us. We were going to go for a Sunday drive, which back then was a big treat. We took all the back roads, of course, so we could look at the crops and the farms and the machinery and the cows. We drove to the top of Rib Mountain and we raced to the top of the fire tower. We enjoyed the views and tried to trace our route by the crops and the farm buildings that we saw along the way. And then we played hide and seek in the huge boulders and crevices. And on our way home, we stopped at my favorite ice cream shop. They had something called the Tasty Tester, and you picked your 10 favorite flavors from about 30 flavors, and they made these huge scoops, and they served it in this great big pedestal bowl about this big around. It was an entire meal of just ice cream. It was a day made joyous by God's Word. Psalm 19 explains some of the ways in which God's Word can fill us with joy. God's glory is on tour in the skies. God's craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight teaches each evening. Their words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded. But their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. And the heavens God has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. That's how God's word vaults across the skies, from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. I just love that image. The sun shines with God's joy. Crops, boulders, food, ping pong balls, all of creation is trying to warm your heart with joy. The stars are shining with God's glorious joy. The trees are swaying and the leaves are dancing with God's glorious joy. God created and sustains a good cosmos to fill you with joy. The psalmist continues, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Well, to enjoy a Sunday afternoon drive, we need the guidance of good laws. Without laws telling us which side of the road to drive on, when to yield and stop, and how fast to drive, there would be gridlock and a greater abundance of accidents. Good laws keep us safe, set us free, and enable us to enjoy life. A favorite teacher of mine, Patrick Miller at Princeton, suggests that the Ten Commandments are meant to function for the people of God the way the U.S. Constitution functions for Americans. The Constitution sets down the guidelines for the kind of life we want to enjoy in America. The Ten Commandments give us the basic rules that, if followed, will enable the individual to have an abundant, joyful life and be in joyful relationship with God and each other. Michael Shishak says, "The Ten Commandments are God's 10 freeing words that show us the way to awe, joy, and healthy relationships with God, oneself, and with one another." Exodus states, "Then God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" Notice that the Ten Commandments are given to the people after they have been saved from slavery. Since God has already saved them and us, set them and us free from slavery, we are to follow the Ten Commandments so we remain free, joyful, and do not fall back into a life of slavery. The commandments indicate how we are to respond to the grace of God, not how to achieve the grace of God, for we have already received God's grace. We have already been set free from sin. Breaking the Ten Commandments makes us miserable and life awful. Violence, dishonesty, infidelity, slander, greed turn society into a dark, sour, and miserable place. When we break God's law, who we're hurting is we're really hurting ourselves. Thankfully, God's grace keeps forgiving, healing, and saving us. God gave us the Ten Commandments to set our souls with wings so that they can soar. The commandments point the way to fullness, harmony, peace, and abundant, joyful life. They reveal the way from wilderness living to the promised land. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses God's name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." Remember how the commandments began? "I am the Lord your God. I, God, know your father and mother, your grandfather and grandmother, your great-grandfather and great-grandmother, everything about you and every ancestor. And I am the same God who freely chooses you to be my people. I freely chose to save you. I, God, loved you from birth, even before you made any kind of response to me. I, God, want to have a loving, joyful relationship with you." God sets us free so that we can make choices. We are free to choose who or what we are going to serve and worship. If we choose to serve and worship God, then we become even freer, discovering more and more love, peace, and joy. If we choose to serve lesser gods like power, riches, fame and success. They will enslave us and make us miserable. Worshiping God gives us identity and purpose. Proper use of God's name is to live in fulfillment of God's will. Keeping the Sabbath, a time of rest, sets us free from enslavement to our schools, our careers, people's expectations. Keeping the Sabbath reveals that our worth does not come from our work or our grades. Rather, our worth is priceless because God loves us. God continues, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These remaining commandments are the foundation to a joyful community built upon honor, respect, and love. When we break these commandments, we are trying to control. Really, what we're trying to do is to enslave others, to make other people our slaves. In so doing, we are putting ourselves in a place that is higher than God. For God does not control us. God sets us free and gives us free will. Broken families, hate, lust, stealing, lies, jealousy, all rob us of joy and erode loving community. Jesus came to fill us with God's joy. So Jesus had his harshest words for those who were robbing themselves and others of God's joy by breaking the intent of the commandments. Jesus addresses this issue in the Sermon on the Mount, and you can read it in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. We have time to look at just one of Jesus' comments on one of those commandments. Jesus said, you have heard that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the high council. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Anger is a joy robber. Some translations translate anger as hate. Hate is another joy robber. Jesus is preaching this to people that he knows have and are going to be angry and to hate. Jesus is going to die on the cross to save them. So when Jesus is talking about the fires of hell, he is describing not one's eternal destiny, rather what life on earth is like for those who break God's law. Life here then becomes hell. If you get angry and hate others and call other people idiots, life is going to become like hell here on earth. Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of the law. Jesus came to forgive, heal, set us free from slavery and living hell on earth. Psalm 1 describes, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Psalm 19 declares, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, making wise the simple, giving insight for living, and bringing joy to the heart. God's word is a much bigger category than God's law. God's word includes God's law, and also Jesus, the word of God, and also the Holy Spirit speaking through each of us to each other, and also all of creation, and also the Bible. And of course, I love that image of the sun running across the horizon in joy. Psalm 119 explains that you will be filled with delight when you seek God's word with your whole heart. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. When we seek God's word, we are propelled into the abundant, joyful life that God is creating for us. So why at times are we joyless people? Leander Keck suggests, perhaps sometimes we are more impressed by the problems of the world than by the power of God. Perhaps we have become so secular that we indeed think that now everything depends on us. And that surely ought to make us very depressed. We are saved by grace, by a joyful God of steadfast everlasting love, our rock and redeemer. We are saved by the love of our joyful Savior, Jesus. We are constantly offered joy by the Holy Spirit. All of creation is singing to us songs of God's joy. God's word is alive, living, breathing all around us, in us, setting us free, transforming us into joy-filled people. Looking back on that day long ago, I can see that my joy-filled day flourished from God's word. The joy of God's word speaking through creation, the sun, the crops, boulders, rib mountain, roads, lunch, ice cream, buildings, farms. The joy of God's word speaking through people, parents, friends, a Sunday school teacher, a congregation, a waitress. The joy of God's word speaking through the Bible proclaimed in Reverend Everhard's worship service. The joy of God's word by keeping the law, worshiping God, celebrating belonging to God, honoring God's name by singing God's praises, serving, playing ping pong, keeping the Sabbath, honoring my mother and father, loving people and receiving their love, enjoying what the day had to offer. The joy of God's word by talking and listening to Jesus. Joy flourishes from God's word. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence to center with